power smoke and, you know. So God said, all right, let me take you beyond the curtain of time and show him what it was. So then he realized heaven is no place quite in the sky. It's another dimension right here. Then he realized these people, when they die, they go into a body, but in the image of the one they had, and they're young forever. They don't even eat in that body self. You see, and then he's able to open up these mysteries. Then God, before that, God took him to hell, down his soul to prison, to open up the mystery where go in the unseen. You see, after a man died, God carried him in the region of the lost, and God carried him in the region of the blessed. And he saw both places, because in the word speak about those places. And he had to reveal every mystery. He said, for years I couldn't preach on hell. Only I could get Hades and hell, the grave, all of them, and feet together. Then I could preach, and then he find out it had no eternal hell. God held a created place. And he had to, God was giving him experiences to put them thing together. So when he comes to the spoken word now, which was the inheritance that was sealed up in the book, now no man knew what was in the book. No man knew where to open it. So then God is the one knowing what was inside it. So God has given him certain experiences here now prior to the opening of the book. You understand that? So when he opened the book, that's why the temple was not totally vindicated before the seals opened. It was totally vindicated after the seals opened. You see? So when God gave him this manifestation, when the book opened, then now he saw what his experience was. And he saw what the church was going to receive. You see, he saw what they had to pass through and these things before you qualify for that. Yes. You see, so he could preach these things afterwards. So when he came down to the opening of the seven seals, then he came there and he opened up something to us in the third pearl. He said, this opening of the word is the third pearl. So there the preaching, to the spoken word is the third pearl. Speak to this mountain, look over to Jesus, all these things. He tell it on there about the spoken word. Then he opened the word and the anointed ones in the end time, he explained that it was the message. Was the attraction of the monk, he said the message is the third pole. Then he said the opening of the word, the mystery is being revealed is the third pole. And then, so that I'm in prison now, he said the preaching to the lost is the third pole. Now he's not contradicting himself, it's a progressive revelation. Amen. Each phase have its own season. Yes. Amen. You see, no longer when people have revelation, they say, it's not the spoken word, it's already the opening of the word. They say, I know the opening word, they preach the lost. No, it's a progressive revelation. I will speak on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When he preached the token, he say he showed the necessity of having the Holy Ghost. When he preached anointed ones in the end time, he's preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. But he's talking about divide and manifestation of evidence. Then he preached invisible union, and he showed that is the predestinated are the only ones who could be born again. Because in non-seed there's nothing to quicken. And these are the ones in the Lamb book of life who the blood was shed for. When he comes now to his rising, his son, and Easter seal, he's preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost again, but he's preaching about the power of the Holy Ghost now. Yeah. You see, he's preaching about the Holy Ghost all the time, but giving a further revelation on the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So here, he's giving a revelation of the third pole, what it was. Because he said the third pole, the tenth vision, the seven thunders, the seventh seal. No man will know them things because all connect together. You see, you can't separate it neither. You see, because this is what it is. It was a message all the time, the third pole. In the tenth vision, he saw the seventh seal. The seventh seal has seven thunders, and the seven thunders was the message. You see, it's all and the message was for the elected seed, the bride, the bride together. My sheep will hear my voice. The only the elect in every age of our earth to hear, nobody else. Two groups in every age, and the messenger speak to the two of them. Amen. So time going okay. So he came now and to the third pole, 1963, and the word opened up. And when the word opened up, God was going to begin now to separate elect from non-elect. Amen. See, God is going to bring a separation because all from 1946, Brother Brown went out, and then 1946 after World War II. Now there's a post-war and there's a pre-war. The pre-war is before the war, the post-war is after the war. And the pre-war had Brother Bosworth and Smith Wigglesworth and Charles Price and A. Mark Semple Pearson. All these people was leaders in the Pentecostal revival. And the post-war was Brother Branham, A. Allen, Tommy Hicks, Tommy Osborne, all these people after the war. That's when Brother Branham went out after World War II and Israel was gathered in the homeland. He went out there and he began to preach the word. And while he began to preach the word outside there, you know, telling them about his commission, he was testifying about his commission with the angel and the signs in the hand, and then he was manifesting these things and was creating attraction. But what's something? the Pentecostal age was almost over already. And the remnant, the elected Pentecostal, had done doubt and gone. Notice every age have their own elected seed. God predestined a portion of the names in every age. Some in Paulate, some in Lutheran, some in Wesley, and then those messengers have a message to gather the elect in that age. Amen. Now in the Pentecostal age, was the seventh age, it was not the Laodicea age yet. Because you know, I tell you that Laodicea is blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know it. Laodicea is rich and increased with goods and have nothing. When the Pentecostals left the Methodist, they didn't have nothing. But Abraham said, they're in the corner with a guitar and a tambourine. He said, well, do you good if you stayed here? Today, a big, nice, big, fine buildings. You have the best set of people and all these different things. You see, because why? When he came forth, 1946, after the war, before the war was the days of depression. He said, a party collection plate picked up 80 cents in the meeting. 300 people said, pick up 80 cents. They had nothing. It was the days of the depression. World War I, 1914, 1918, and World War II. So they had nothing. The Pentecostal days started in 1906. You see? So, 1946, now when he began to go out now, then he's going after the war with healing and he's going to attract a lot of people. He's attracting people. Now God is getting ready to come to the world. So God is attracting people's attention all around the world. And why these people have been attracted all around the world? They don't know what's happening, but God is going to trap all them spirits right there. God is getting ready to trap them and deceive them and carry them into Laodicea. I mean, I say it that way because so I read it in the message. But Ram say in Anointed Ones Again Time, he say, God let me go forth and try to explain them gifts and things. He said, I shouldn't do it. And I get tangled up, but God allow it to deceive them. Yeah. He said to make them trust in the churches and trust in the ball of fire on the platform and trust in the oil in the hand. You see, and trust in all the different kind of sensations and things. And they run of them, they never wait for the word. And then they went into Laodicea to fulfill the scripture. But the Bible is in the last, they have to be blind, they have to be wretched, they have to be miserable, and they have to be naked and don't even know it. Yeah. They have to get in that condition. And you cannot have impersonators until the true one go forth. Yeah. And the true one didn't go forth until after World War II, 1946. Yeah. And when he went forth there, then they begin to see him and the others begin to rise up impersonating what he had. And when they started impersonating him, then many begin to go forth manifesting gifts. And drawing attraction for their own self, and then they begin to get the oneness, the threeness, this, that. They begin to get all the different sections of the Pentecostal churches. You see, and in there, the people begin to pull for money because they had no character. They were impersonators. Yeah. They had the gifts without the virtues. Yeah. These are the gifts without the virtues. That's stumble block. Yeah. But the people wasn't interested in the word, and they wasn't interested in character. They were being enchanted by sensations and gifts and different things that were running after that. So they were fleecing them the money and millions of dollars, begin to point to Laodicea and begin to get rich and increase with goods. Because he said the Pentecostals in 1 year convert more people than all denominations put together. Through the ministry of the prophet and why? And through the membership, more money begin to come in. And when more money begin to come in, begin to get rich and increase with goods. And then he said, and they get lifted up, they think they can do what they want, and God smite them with leprosy. Yeah. You see? And they begin to die. So Laodicea, they reach a place where they think they had need of nothing. And even the prophet, when he had to rebuke them, they put him out of the church and they fellowship him. Yeah. And he had no other proof because they would not be corrected. Yeah. And God showed him in the vision that same cap where he said, nah, the Pentecost is the best church, and the Pentecost are the believe in the gifts and the Pentecostals, you know, believe in the supernatural, they know Jesus Christ every day. And they love that. But when you say you want your bobby and your shorts and these things, they couldn't take that. Amen. You see? Now, just trying to make that little background clear for you what happened back there. Because I want to speak to you and show when it can be total where everybody get lost. Because they understand the bride age now. They don't understand what happened after the seals. Now, all before the seals, you know. Amen. Before the message really come. This is where you're going to follow with five senses. Amen. This is where he was contacting the flesh and the spirit. But when the third pull went beyond the spirit and went to the soul, and God found down inside of the air demon-possessed men who was religious and manifesting gifts. anointed with the Holy Spirit on the spirit, casting devils out of people's flesh, but had devils in their own soul. Amen. And because they had devils in the soul, they came and disbelieved the word when the word was showing them that the baptism of Jesus Christ is correct. Yet Pentecostal men claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, who had gifts, who had manifestations, who had great evangelistic campaigns, who had great healing ministries, who preach and bring fire down, and had great amount of converts and large following. They couldn't receive the baptism of the name of Jesus Christ. They couldn't receive that speaking in tongues, not the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. And it showed they had a demon of doubting. And not really filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, men who are top of the cream of the crop, who are told of spiritual. Amen. The soul that sinneth or disbelieveth. Because when it comes to real belief, you don't believe with your body. You see, taste, smell, hear, and touch with your body. You don't believe with the spirit neither. Your reason, conscience, memory, affection, imagination with the spirit. But you believe with your soul. And the soul that sinneth or disbelieveth shall surely die. He said, disbelieve what? The word for the hour. Yeah. So those people's souls, their bodies could have been church. Well shaven. Well dressed. Yeah. The spirit could have been religious. Moral and clean. And they preach about sin as drinking and smoking and committing adultery. But they don't speak as sin as disbelieving the revealed word. Because they are disbelieving the revealed word. They are the type of sinners you have to watch close, because they are religious sinners. The worst kind. Who preach 99 and 99 hundredths of the word. And the only way you can know when somebody preaches 99 and 99 hundredths of the word, you have to know the 100 that they can't preach. Amen. And when you find out the 100 that they can't preach, you'll realize that a historical part of the message, a prophetic part of the message. So people have made theology out of the message, because the spirit of wisdom is in the framework of the church, and the greatest battle is wisdom versus faith. Esau and Jacob in the womb of the bride. Amen. What was the burden? What was the promise? Amen. What was the title deed? What was looking for the manifestation of the sons of God? What was looking for that third pole, that revival, the jealous pole to come to the church? Amen. And the other one is interested in a nice little church, control a few people, have church order, bind them up, preach the minister part of the word very strong, respect for God's servant, and bind them and put fear in their heart. Amen. Exhort themselves and give people fear they can't approach the minister at all. Amen. And have them beaten up continually with the three-corner stick. I love you, they don't have no king sword, that three-corner stick. But the five corners of the king sword. Three materials, gold, silver, and pearl. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you come here because you take my sword and chop it up in pieces. Chop it up with your hand. Amen. Nobody beat me down with a three-corner stick. But when somebody fake muscles at the right, they leave that woman alone. Leave this bride alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You give someone a chance, they want to beat the people down. They can hardly say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My, all they want is the tithes and the offering. Amen. But the bride will revive her. Revive her, the just power to come to church and the third pole. Hallelujah, that's what the bride wants. Amen. See, so when he went to the third pole now, to the soul, God is going to prove now who is believers and who is not believers. Because the sense of the soul is either faith or unbelief. Amen. And you know, Brother Abraham never fully understood what that soul was. Because not until the seven seals opened. When the seven seals opened, he said that soul was a gene of God. It was an attribute of the Spirit of God. He said it was in that soul was in the spiritual loins of God. And when God expressed his thoughts, became the word. And the word is what dropped inside of there in seed form. He said, and then the Holy Spirit has to come to water that seed. And when the Holy Spirit water that seed, it's going to grow out. And the life is going to take a certain period of time, the time God allotted for the word to become flesh. And while you're adding word upon word, you'll be able to preach the mystery and reveal what was hidden in the Bible. You'll be only able to quote what was in the scripture, but though Malachi 4 revealed the threefold mystery, the shout, the voice, and the trump, though he give the revelation, a mystery is a scripture divinely revealed. But though the revelation is given, there still remains a supernatural element of the revelation. And that supernatural element will not be able to be spoken until the history is being made. So Sunday morning, I want to tell you about the supernatural element being spoken now. Then I want to background some of these things, because I'll prove to you that, you see, God is proving. If you know what you proof that the shout was on, you have to know what you proof that the shout was really on. Amen. When you see them mistreaters in the book that couldn't be revealed in reality form, 27 church, it had been played, you know the shout was on. Amen. Well, God is proving that you have moved into the second fold by the supernatural element of the revelation of the voice of the archangel being revealed now. Amen. And it's fitting into that revelation, bringing that revelation to light and giving you faith and anchoring your soul. And then God's going to drop down supernaturally and manifest in the image to let you know it's him. You see, so when you see that taking place, then you're going to know, this is not church membership and church group. You know the word of God being fulfilled, the promise of God for the hour. Amen. So in the third poll, the men who had gifts in the spirit, you know, manifesting all these things, during that period of time, impersonated by around 1946 and 63, was that time of impersonations. The Holy Spirit is pouring out himself and anointing inside of there, and men will rise up, anointed men, but they really didn't have evidence. And the eyesight didn't come yet to the church. Amen. To discern the false anointed ones. There wasn't the seen age yet. They was hung over Pentecostal, still blabbing with the mouth. But that are moving to the eyes in the prophetic vision when the eyes come anointed and they be able to see the two spirits in the framework of the church. Yes. And that's why Brother Abraham, as one man, could have understand the mystery of God is bringing the church, because a one man scripture and that soul in him was the word, and he is the only one who had an open channel of inspiration. So inspiration was coming to him to let him know what was going on, while people had only been anointed and manifesting gifts. But Brother Abraham, in the first and second poll, while they went off after gifts and became popular, they get trouble popularity of women, but he was overcoming those tests, suffering many things, and the character had been forming, and then the power came to the character in the third poll. God could have trust him, and then God put a sword in his hand and let him know that he has accepted him. His name is good on the check as God's name now, because he's trustworthy. You can speak to the mountain. You see, so during the field there, he was proving himself when he came off the field and he wouldn't beg for the money and these things. He could have done what the others did. So when he made those decisions, God come back around and said, because you have chosen the harder way. Because you've done it, a huge portion I have my way to you. See? So all that while he's been tested, unknown. But because of the word was spoken to a little boy, 7 years old, then when he was 24 years old in the river, then when he was 37 years old in the cave, he was looking constantly for something to happen. So though he's having a ministry and people didn't gather around what was happening, that couldn't trap him. Because I was what the angel spoke to his soul way back there as a little boy. He said, all my life I wanted this. From the age of 7 till he was about 53. All my life I wanted this. That angel he met up there with big wings and a silver sword in his hand was the same one who spoke to him in the fire, same one who spoke to him in the cave, same one who spoke to him at the river, same one who used to speak to him, someone come over the crib. But here now that angel identifying himself with the scripture, Revelation 10:1, and here's Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7. Is the earthly angel. Revelation 10:1 is the heavenly angel. And the heaven is two angels there, you know. It's a heavenly angel and an earthly angel. That's the angel of the covenant. That's the earthly angel, the other one. And both of them was caught up in the air, in the constellation. And both of them looked at one another in the face. And the eye, the word and the prophet met. The word came to the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. And the prophet and the word stood staring one another. Amen. And the word spoke to the prophet and said, go back east and I will meet you over there. And he pointed the silver sword. And the prophet said, my, that looked like the same sword that he dropped in my hand a few days ago. He said, maybe that is Michael. What did you do with that sword? Amen. Hallelujah. You see? So you find after that time now, he knows something is happening. God is revealing himself to the prophet, you see? And then when he comes with the word now, he begins to speak the word to the Pentecostals, and he had it so plain now. Nobody could receive it. And then he had to turn back around and judge them. So he said, the word is on trial. What shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Then be trial. And he said, in Pilate judgment hall this morning. He said, you're going to wash it off your heart or you're going to put it in your heart? And they didn't put it in the heart. And the Pentecostals rejected the Bible and God almost sunk Alaska. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit told Abraham, Genesis 24:7, like Eliezer, go and choose a bride. And he went out there in the end time evangelism looking for character. Amen. Testifying about the blast and the angels and the king's sword and the seven seals and the prophecy, a huge portion of heaven, all these things. And that was a catch of rainbow trout. Now there's out there. The little fish didn't want that, but the rainbow trout is going to come along for that. Amen. You see what is happening. So here it was now, but the Pentecost was staring and they couldn't see nothing. They didn't know what's happening, but he was in the greatest realms that he ever worked in all his life. Was when he got there with the truth, because he was calling names. And only they who had representation could respond to the word. Amen. And many begin to come out, and the Pentecost begin to dry up. Amen. And then Malachi 4 went off the scene. Now the third pull went beyond the human spirit, and that went to the soul to separate elect from non-elect, to separate the real believers from the make-believers. Now watch. Now, then Brother Abraham get the revelation of the bride age. And there could not be no bride age until the seven seals is open. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'll show you why. Now, you see, we're preaching bride age, but when it's a bride age, it means if it's bride, it'll be over here. You say Pentecostal age, if it's Pentecostal, it'll be over here. It's why in the message, where it fit me. Now, bride age is not just bride age. Bride age is certain scriptures proving in bride age. Amen. Amen. Now what? Then he said, look at the raptures of Revelation, the seventh seal is a threefold mystery, is the coming of the Lord. And the Lord come from heaven with a shout, a voice, and a trump. And the shout was their message to gather the people together. The opening of the seven seals, and under the seal of the names of the elected seed, who the blood was shed for, written inside of the air before the foundation of the world. But now being revealed, who name was really the air. By the word of God for the hour coming unto them, and they have an ear to hear it. Yes. Amen. Because by what word they was believing was going to show whether they're Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, or bride. Yes. Amen. Whether they're in the carrier or in the grain. Yes. Whether they're in the book of life or in the Lamb's book of life. Whether they're in the substitute covenant or in the original covenant. Yes. Because we know that there's people tonight in the reformer ages. Yes. And there's people who is in the apostolic age. Yes. From Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost was a reformer age. But then seven seals bring back an apostolic age. Yeah. Amen. And the bride have to come over on that side, believing in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. She have to be the Omega bride, the same thing that the Alpha bride was. So when the seven seals open, Balaam knew that the denominational age was run out, because God was going to reveal now what was going on through seven church ages. Because what went on through seven church ages went on while the book was closed. I was a mystery going on. Luther by inspiration preach apart. Where's that inspiration preach apart? But they never lived long enough to explain the whole thing. So, but God predestined a messenger at the end of the seventh age who the world is going to come for to, and then he's going to reveal the mystery of the entire Bible. He has no special message. He will tap all the loose ends and reveal the entire mystery of God. Then he comes at the end of the seventh age now. And when the word comes to him now, then he opened up the book. And when he opened the book, we realized that denominations was really carriers. The life did pass through them, but they will not go in the rapture. They will be bundled for the fire. Just like you have a stalk growing out of the ground. Now the stalk is part of the carrier, but that the life passes through the stalk. Then the life leaves the stalk and go into the tassel, and the stalk remains there, but the life move on. The stalk cannot move on. The stalk remains, but the life passes through. Yes. That is why we have a Lutheran church tonight. Yes. You can go and see it. Yes, if you had visit there, God take you back in time, in 1520, you would see them shouting and praising God. Yes. You would see a man putting the just shall live by faith. Yes. You would see them blasting the Catholics. Amen. But tonight, you will see them turn back, call again when they go to the World Council of Churches. Because why? The elected Lutherans, Luther and the elected ones, is in glory and die the carrier. Amen. You can find a Methodist church. If you're going there, 1750 to 1906, you can walk in there, and you could see John Wesley and many men inspired by Wesley, as a message for the age. But the preaching sanctification without holiness, no man shall see God. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. Amen. And they preach against immorality, all pollutions and abominations and these things. And they're keeping the church clean. They say, no, you're saved by grace. Live holy to prove it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll find them shouting. And you'll find them blasting the Anglicans. You starchy, stiff-necked Anglicans. Amen. Like John Wesley did. But tonight, John Wesley and the elected ones who was in that age in glory, and that the carrier remained, that the tassel. You're going to find the Pentecostal churches. Many of them throughout the nation. Amen. 1906. Brother Seymour and Frank Bartleman and all them, Robert Evans, Roberts and all them, but they're preaching, amen, the Holy Ghost, receive the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, amen. Covet spiritual gifts, but desire to prophesy. All these things. But what you find tonight? Cold, dead Laodicea. Amen. Because why? The elected seed is in glory. And that remain. Then, the first grain to show itself, Malachi 4. Wheat, just like the original. Not carrier, no. Wheat, all the life, gathered up into that. To reveal the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To reveal the Son of Man. To show forth Hebrews 13:8. Amen. And God waves it over us. And we knew we was in a wheat age. We knew we was in an eagle age. We knew we was in a spiritual astral age. We knew we was in a Sunday. Amen. Because why? We saw the grain again. And that one is in glory. But there's more wheat because that one is waiting for the others. So we cannot go to Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecost. We have to find something outside of that where grain is to find the life. Amen. Then we have the people in the message who's supposed to be the grain. Amen. But when Luther was the grain, he preached just shall live by faith. That's your word for the age. Wesley preached a further revelation, which was the just shall live by faith and sanctification. The Pentecostal preached just shall live by faith, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Malachi 4 came, opened up the seven seals, reveal every mystery in the Bible. Amen. Identify himself, Revelation 10, one of the seven tongues of their voices, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, a shout, a message to gather the bride together. Pull out that Babylon. Amen. Then if the bride had to come after that, she had to come in with the word and continue to that. Yes. So how are you going to know the bride tonight? The people that have the revelation is in continuity to Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And what else in the Bible is in continuity to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, other than Revelation 10, 8 to 11? Yes. Amen. Because you ain't going to get the experience of the Lord is having the show. That doesn't fulfill already. Amen. You see, you ought to receive an experience of the word for your age, allotted for your time. Because God predestinated you to meet that word. Otherwise, God could have put you in Luther age or Wesley, and he put you in the age to come after the prophet. He put you to manifest the word after the prophet. Because the prophet is a one-man scripture. Amen. Now we come into the bride age here now. Bride age and Pentecostal age, both in the Laodicea age. Amen. What really is? Amen. Now look at this very carefully. Now in the opening, in the dying of Jesus on the cross, we get ready to close off here. In the dying of Jesus on the cross, there's a prophet that forerun that, which was John the Baptist. He came between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He came between the two covenants. He came in a change in a time. Amen. The last prophet is Malachi, 400 years, no more prophets. During those 400 years, all kind of Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians, Essenes, Stoics, all the denominations raised up during that time. Then a prophet of the spirit, Elijah, come on the scene at the end of that 400 years. Where can we find the people, the tradition, the fathers, all kind of stiff-necked, uncircumcised priests. Amen. Being the direct message to the religious leaders. You white-washed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. You snake in the grass, your generation of vipers. Who wanted from the wrath to come? See? And direct his message to the religious leaders, just like in this day, because from the time them 400 years, from 1520 to around the 1906 there, had no prophets. Amen? But what had reformers. No apostles were reformers. All kind of religious men get up a little truth, and making denominations. And at the end of the age when the message came, the people was tied up with only organizations. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, and he directed his message direct to the religious leaders. Amen. Begin to attack them and blast them to pieces. Amen. Then, during that time, John was getting ready to introduce the Messiah. Amen. He was all them Old Testament prophets prophesying, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. John said, there's one standing among you whom you know not. He's here. Amen. See, he wind up the entire Old Testament into his ministry, and he's getting ready now to introduce the Messiah. Then one day he saw the sign, the Holy Spirit coming out, and he introduced the Messiah to the public, the Holy Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. The Son of Man had a ministry. Amen. 3.5 years, the Son of Man had a ministry to the religious leaders. Identifying not the spirit of Elijah no more, the Son of Man is the headstone himself, but the builder is going to reject the headstone. Yes, amen. See, for Elijah come and introduce the headstone. Yes. Amen. When the headstone came, the builders reject the headstone. Yes. Amen. They crucify him with wicked hands. Yes. Amen. Yes. Didn't understand why. They held on to the substitute lamb. Yes. And they failed to recognize the headstone. He was headstone. He was lamb. Amen. But he was the great shepherd. See, but the order has been fulfilling right there. He had a multiple ministry, but he didn't understand what's going on. But here he stood right there, identifying some of the scriptures. Amen. Showing them what was happening. Showing them that change of beat. Showing them John. He said, you saw John, you're walking in light for a season. Amen. He had all the written, the right and the white on the pyramid. But then there was a time going to come. You have to be caught up in this mystery. You have to be caught over to this part. Light is going to come to shine on this part now. Light is going to come out of heaven. Amen. A person coming in the great light to shine this white rock. Then you look in on this. You'll be taken up in this now. Amen. This will get you ready for the rapture in faith. The others, it will straighten you up and let you know what to look for. Amen. It will bring you on your journey. But this will get you ready for the rapture. Now what's something? So we find that when that began to come forth, then he came there after he wind up all the loose and he introduced the Messiah to the people. Now when Jesus down the went and the believers rejected him down the cross, now something happened. Because all the while, people between John and Jesus' death on the cross, get it very carefully, they knew that Jesus was the Christ. Didn't they know it? Yeah, between John and Jesus dying on the cross, they knew he was the Christ. Then when Jesus died on the cross, before that time, they had to be baptized unto repentance. They could be baptized for remission of sins because the blood wasn't shed, and all the shed blood was remission of sins. Now when the blood was shed on the cross, then they could be baptized on for remission of sin to become an identification with the atonement, that the life of the atonement could come back on them and bring the covenant into effect. Other than that, they only have a revelation. Amen. That this is Jesus, a prophet, mighty word indeed. You see, there's the promised word for they all being made manifest. You see, but then their relationship is null and void. So we find that after now the Holy Ghost came, Peter and the apostles, many others, Paul and many others, they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they had a revelation of what was achieved for them on the cross. Yeah. What was made available. And they were baptized in identification with that. But here now, some years after, they bunked up some people. And those people was believing that Jesus is the Christ. Ministers, Apollos and his followers, was preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Yeah. But didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Yeah. When the very ministry of Jesus, from John 3, until he ascended to heaven, he started that you must be born again, and he ascended and said, go into Jerusalem and tarry and receive the promise of my Father. His entire ministry was to release the Holy Ghost. can make way for the Holy Ghost. And here Apostle them knew sufficient, a prophet mighty word indeed. He the Christ, spoke by the Old Testament prophets, but they know nothing of the Holy Ghost. Which is the real achievement of the ministry. And here is Paul and them the same message, believing in the same Jesus and the same Christ, believing that, no, Paul and them didn't believe nothing different than what apostles believe, you know. Just believe a little more. But Abraham said, had the Lutherans go on, they become the Methodists. If the Methodists go on, they become the Pentecostals. If the Pentecostals go on, they become the bride. This is exactly what it is. And between the Pentecostals and the bride is the foolish virgins. Amen. They hold on to the prophet, but don't come beyond the prophet. And the prophets have been 1965 and we 1982. So they have not done them 17 years. They preach history from 1965 back. Amen. Now watch. So Apollos now and all of them was preaching and proving by the scripture a prophet might do what indeed. But Aquila and Priscilla were teaching them the way of God more perfectly. And the way that they were teaching more perfectly was showing them that you can know Jesus as the Christ before the cross. Amen. But at the cross, when the blood was shed, the Holy Spirit was released, the covenant came into effect. And the life came back and identified the real believers who had a revelation of the atonement. So when Paul met them, he said, from the time they began to speak about Jesus, they were speaking about like a kind of past Jesus. Jesus back there, God with us. But Paul and them was knowing that God in us. You see, the pillar of fire, God above us, then the pillar of fire in the flesh, really Son of Man, God with us. And then the pillar of fire on the church, God in us. That's God above us there. Look at it there. Pillar of fire and the Father, God above the church. Then he went behind human skin to pull on veil, the mighty God, God is veil, for him to be unveiled. God with us. The world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amen. Then our God in the bride. Now watch. So you find the word actually happening there. Then Paul and them, so time they hear me speak of Jesus, he said, under what you baptize? You want to find which side of the covenant you're on? Because you know you got to get baptized on either side. Yeah, revelation of Jesus on either side. He said, you see that before the cross and after the cross. They were trying to preach before the sin and after the sin. Because before the cross, they look at the cross and they prophesy. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Because Abraham said he was looking to the cross. He said, but read what Peter say. He said, Peter looked back and said, by his stripes, we were healed. It's because Peter was seeing things finished at the cross. Isaiah was seeing the cross coming one day, the Redeemer will come and pay the price. Peter looked back and said, the Redeemer paid the price. All of the seven church ages, one of these days, look up in heaven, the Son of Man coming in a cloud upon the glory one of these days. Amen. The Redeemer will come with the title of heaven one of these days, a promise in the Bible. But one day, like Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. I see standing on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see Redeemer, you see Boaz drop down in a public testimony on the earth. Tell them all about this message of which way you can redeem this bride. They have no message to take the bride back. But yet, this there is message of the seven seas and the seven thunders. Hallelujah. I have redeemed Ruth this day. Hallelujah. Her heart will be turned back by these truths. Back to the original Pentecostal faith. Amen. You see? So what is happening? So many people, when the dispensation changed, you know, Abraham preached Shalom. He said that changing of the beating, that was his symphony. He's trying to get the people to know we're changing. He said we're going a straight line, but now we're in a corner. He's trying to get them to know a dispensation is going to change. He said, look, when in the church age, he was Son of God. But when they put him out of the church, he became Son of Man outside the church. He can't be Son of Man in the church, he was Son of God in the church. But when they put out the church, he was Son of Man. Son of Man had to be revealed to show that the church age is finished. And when the carcass is where the Son of Man has been revealed, there will the eagles be gathered together. The Son of Man, the head, come to unite with the body for the rapture and visible union. Amen. Amen. And the people wasn't understanding, you see. So there was one day, now watch. So when he came on this side of the cross, Paul and them started talking to him. He said, unto what then we baptize? You'll be baptized under John baptism. He said, you ain't hear about the Holy Ghost? He said, what Holy Ghost? He said, you ain't hear about the bright age and the unknown language? And the seven times and fall into something else that'll make a cycle and come back? And many people don't read that right. Go back in your seventh seal and see. He didn't say the seven thunders make a cycle and come back. It's what the seven thunders fall into had to make a cycle and come back. What we'll be waiting for is not the seven thunders. What we're waiting for is what the seven thunders fall into. Because you're supposed to know that the messenger revealed the seven thunders. He opened the book, seven thunders had the book sealed. And the book couldn't be opened without them seven thunders having their voices to make plain what's on the street side of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. That's what you're waiting for. So a lot of people, after a little while, their eyes open and they see seven thunders and say, oh, what a revelation seven thunders reveal. You have to go beyond that. Yeah. You don't stop there now. Yeah. You only understand what that was the prophet message when they were there. Yeah. Amen. Gentile prophet. Yeah. Amen. There are Gentile prophet and Jewish prophets. You know that? Yeah. You've been taught that. Yeah. Amen. Gentile prophet before the rapture and two Jewish prophets after the rapture. Yeah. And between the Gentile prophet, he went away in 1965, and the two Jewish prophets yet to come. Between there from 1965 to 1982 is supposed to be something between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets. Yeah. And the Gentile prophets are shouting, the two Jewish prophets is the last trumpet. And between there is a voice of the archangel. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Archangel voice. But the archangel voice is seven times, because the archangel cried a loud voice and seven times after their voices. No, the archangel voice that came down. But seven thunders is revealing what the archangel voice will be. Yes. Yes. That's why the prophecy of the seven thunders is super church. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Out of the loud voice went forth seven thunders. And the seven thunders, if you gather back up, it'll come back to the loud voice. Yes. Angel cried a loud voice. Yes. Like Jesus cried a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. Yes. It's a recycling back of the message. But now emphasizing the bright part, not the prophet part. Yeah. When the seven thunders went out, the emphasis was, read the word on the bride and see yourself. Let me pick up my word on the bride inside of here, let me read it for you quickly. Yeah. Amen. My, look at it right here. Now, listen to me. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel messed with the word of God, Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled at that time all is written of him because she accepted his word to her. Amen. He's emphasizing the angel part because he was the angel bringing the word to the virgin. Amen. But now we emphasizing the virgin part who received the message from the angel. Amen. It's the same thing. Amen. Had two parts, an angel part and a virgin part. Amen. It wasn't the virgin part time yet. It was the angel part. You had to see the angel. Couldn't see a virgin yet. You had to see the angel. Down come the angel. He emphasized the angel part. Showing the scripture, Malachi 4, 5, verse 10, 7. Sends him into the angel part. Yes. That, where's the attraction? Prophecy being made history. The angel is here. Yes. At the end of the seventh age. No, it's the virgin part. The angel not here. The bride here. The virgin part now. Super church. She received the angel message. The angel message got to be made manifest in her. She will bring forth the Christ. They depart preaching now. So recycling back the same message but with a different emphasis. That is all. Amen. My, where did he bring the message the first time? Virgin part was prophecy, angel part become a history. Now the message come back around. Virgin part become a history, angel part is history already. And people say they are complicated business, but they are simple as daylight. Amen. You see, he make himself simple to be understood by the simple. But many who play simple, they afford humility, they're very simple. Yeah. Amen. So, those people that believe in Jesus, but on the other side of the cross, they were still living it over on this side, but the Spirit was anointed from way before Jesus died. But Paul and the apostles and them, they was identified in what was being made manifest after the cross. Amen. Amen. Now, all through seven churches, we've been looking for the hour of redemption because we know we live in the time of intercession. Amen. You understand that? Amen. So because the church is intercession. Amen. And we know one day the Redeemer will come forth. Amen. And you cannot speak about redemption until the time of redemption comes. Amen. When the Redeemer himself take the book and drop down, mean to reveal redemption. Amen. 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 And then we've been looking towards it. Like Isaiah, all them looking at the cross, looking at the cross. And Paul and all them looking and say, I see the Lord, he's in heaven, a shout. John says, I see a mighty angel coming, an open book from heaven. And they're all looking like Isaiah and them. They see a lamb being led down before his shirt. They look at the scene in the Calvary, see? So they were seeing that time coming. Amen. Amen. Then Paul and them, they wasn't looking at the land to come, which is the Calvary. They were preaching the revelation of what took place at the cross. He said that the preaching of the cross of Christ should be made of effect. Yes. He said there are some made it, make it of no effect. Yes. They don't understand what happened at the cross. Yes. Amen. Now here it happens again. Now in the scripture, when that book was open, them seven seals, that cloud came, that those seven seals was open, something happened. Everything that was paid for the cross, just like before the cross, they couldn't say, I give not unto you. They had nothing to give. But when the Redeemer died, and so the Father sent me, so send I, you know, and the Holy Spirit came back upon him. This is something I have brought unto you. Amen. And here down through that time, we know they're all going to come. When that book opens, we'll get back that thing. Amen. It'll be released again. And then here it is, we're living after the cross, and it's open and released. Amen. But for 17 years, the enemy have been so cunning and shrewd, he work and intermingle, and knowing that the true church had to preach the part of the prophet first before we get the other part, the enemy running there to claim to be preaching the truth, and he did preach the truth for a season. Yes. The enemy did preach the truth for a season. Yes. But when the time come and we had to move beyond that, the enemy who worked alongside the true ministers preaching and saying, go to the prophet to the for the enemy was saying that too, because he saw some people with a message. And the ministers just couldn't preach the voice of the archangel. They had to preach the part before the seals. They had to preach the opening seals. They had to preach the shout. And then they had to identify the part. And God wasn't revealing all at one time. So God started revealing baptism correctly. He started revealing who the prophet was. He started revealing about the organization. And the minister was preaching these things. And the enemy quickly running there and began to preach alongside. And everybody looking like ministers of the message. Everybody was saying the same thing, God's in a proclamation for us. And the enemy in preaching part truth was making converts and getting people under his control in the message, which later on he was going to come back around now and stop at a certain point and denominate right inside of here with that same organizational spirit and say, we are the children, we are still the prophet, and they are going off in a deep aim. Hallelujah. So when the hour came, the time of the voice of the archangel to be revealed, and the bride will no longer be overshadowed by a revelation of a mighty prophet and see no bride, because the prophet messed with, there will be a super church, there will be a super race, the house of God will live again, the pyramid will stand again, the tree of life will bloom again. He said there will be a masterpiece. The entire message of the prophet was saying that the bride will be restored back. There will be a church in the last days. Check out the other bride. He even saw it in a vision. She was coming marching. And what they run and do now, they keep preaching the prophet part, the prophet part, the prophet part, the prophet part, and people keep seeing the prophet part. And when the eyes get glowing the prophet part, and the bride can get a revelation of herself and identify some of the scriptures and say a new season's on, God have come down here and we're moving on now. What we waited for is being a break forth upon us. Revival will be a stimulator and make us happy. Rather the enemy turn around and say, that is fanaticism. We're not going on with that. That is the devil. And begin it, because why? Because the enemy get accepted as a believer for preaching the part of the message to for a season. Yes. But here the real bride is waking up with a revelation that there are tears among the wheat inside the message. The real bride getting a revelation that actually there are people right inside the message who is still on that other side of the seals. Because remember, before the seven seals open, Brother Abraham teach water baptism correct. He teach serpent seed. He teach one God. He teach no eternal hell. He teach denomination. Why will the denomination? Why am I going to organize religion? All these before the seven seals open. So before the seven seals open, you could have had a revelation of God's not a prophet. You could have a revelation of denomination for it. You could have a revelation of baptism correct. You could have a revelation of all these things. and there was no bride age yet. Is that correct? That is my thought, that is the message. Amen. I'm just trying to show some light and some things right in the message to let you, and I say these things tonight for you. I tell you, Holy Spirit, put on my heart. I can't speak this here tonight because just a little talk I say with the church. You see, because here we are preaching a revelation and it breaking forth and becoming plain, and many don't understand exactly what it is because many know it's a prophesied promise. Many fail to realize that many people on the outside don't understand because now you're going to find out who really has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now you're going to find out really that in the message, have men moral in the body, refined and religious in the spirit, and in the soul, they are unbelievers, can't believe the word. Yeah. They only believe after God to the prophet in the message. Yeah. But the attraction turned from the prophet to his prophecy. Amen. Amen. The attraction today, the prophet's prophecy is coming to pass. The Moses is dead. Amen. Amen. No prophet gonna come back and run with nobody. I remember last time I was in America, I was preaching and telling people, I said, I thank God to be in America. I thank God to be in Arizona, and I could go out and see where Brother Bram live, and I could go and see the grizzly bear on the ground. And I could see the caribou, the 42-inch horn, still 42 inches today. And I thank God to see the rifle they call Blondie. And I thank God to see all the hogs that they live and they talk about. And I thank God to go up on sword monkey, all these things. And I say, I'm happy to see that. But those things didn't give me no faith when I see it. But I didn't even put the prophet hat on my head. I said, I'm going to change it. I said, but thank God he left a message. He said, rapture and faith lay in the message. We don't have to get a cow or the hat. We don't have to go in the house. We have to dig in the revelation. Get in the spirit and see the thing come to pass. When we begin to dig deep and get in the spirit, we understand what you are saying. And look how simple it is. And people try to say, oh, that is false. And then believe that. And people don't understand what they're talking about. Make them the critics that even hear what is being said and they're criticizing. And the people being influenced by the critics, even the servants of the critics never even hear much of the criticize. Amen. And we fired many men who put up this word, men of God, and the message have no revelation. They don't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost are recognized as a part of the world, the gene and new ways for the hour. And in the Pentecostal age, if Brother Abraham was not an elected in the Pentecostal age, is that correct? Yes. All right, we got the Pentecostal age, Brother was a brother, boss it and all them. Yes. Amen? When the Pentecostal age started 1906, Brother Abraham was born 1909, he wasn't even born yet. Yes. After World War II and all them old, elected one, doubt and gone, he was now being commissioned to go forward with healing. Yes. Around the world, yes, with a gift for healing. Amen. He came at the end of the Pentecostal age. Because every age that manifests the word for the age to prove there's elect in that age. Yeah. And the word for the Pentecostal age was restoration of the gifts. Luther had to manifest justification to prove his bride. He didn't necessarily believe that revelation. He had to manifest to prove he's elect. Yeah. Wesley had to manifest sanctification. He had to actually be sanctified. He must achieve it to prove he's elect in that age. He can't say that thought right that's in the Bible, no, it's true really. He had to be actually sanctified. The Pentecost actually had to be receive the gifts to prove there is that word for the age. Then Malachi 4 is a one-man scripture. Amen. And when he came, he had to manifest that word. Amen. And then we can't claim to be, many of us might have been a Pentecostal lodge, but it was not in the Pentecostal age. Amen. Amen. You hang around the Lord, but there's really a predestinated seat for this age. Ain't find your place yet. And entrance haven't been ministered to minister entrance to bring you into God's only provided place. Amen. You might have been left hanging around waiting until he ministered entrance to bring you into his provided place. Where you recognize what part of the world you are. Amen. When they thought what age you are in, when you know what you must be under expectation of, when then you know the prayer, then you know what to anoint yourself. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be praying by revelation. I want to make this plain, 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 plain. Amen. Now, when you come and read the message becomes a different message for you. So then, the word that we have to manifest can't be the one man script. You got Brother Bram is the first fruit of this age. Ain't nobody born in this age before the prophet. Because he revealed the age. He revealed the word for the age. He manifests the word for the age. He proved what you have to do in this age. He identified them as spirits that govern this age. He's the first fruit of this age. Amen. Then, it means say, and that scripture is a one man scripture. Because he was Elijah. From the Old Testament, Malachi 4:5, that Old Testament scripture. Amen. He's the seventh church in Messenger of Revelation 10 from the New Testament in the book of Revelation. He's he fulfills Luke 7:3 because the Son of Man was revealed through him, a Son of Man, in the gospel there. Yeah? And then he's also a member of the bride. So he was a messenger, Elijah the prophet, Old Testament prophet, seventh church messenger. Then he's a member of the bride, and then he's revealing Elohim. Amen. Amen. See, all there, and the people never understood. One minute, that time he had to speak like Eliezer, one man, not the bride, Eliezer. Amen. That time he had to speak like the angel Gabriel that comes to Mary with the message. Amen. That time he had to come and speak like Elijah, he did like Ahab, one man. Amen. Not the bride, Elijah. Amen. Then the next time he comes and speaking like the bride, one of the sons of God. In the last days, when we made manifest. Amen. Amen. First fruit, where sheaf, offering these things. See? Then, after the one man scripture, then our scripture come. Because before the one man scripture, the Pentecostal is like Barnabas written them. Amen. Amen. So our scripture would have to be Revelation 8:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:16b. Somebody say B. Amen. You see, that'll be our scripture. And when that word is being interpreted in our life, it proves we are elect. When you can receive that word, it proves we have the Holy Ghost. Outside, we have had a sensation, we have had a good feeling, we maybe have lived a good life, we may be sanctified, might have manifested the Holy Spirit, but we never really born for the age. That is why today, when that word is being preached, and if you can't go forward, it showed they never had the Holy Ghost. God, many people say you have the Holy Ghost. Let me see you raise the dead. Dead is raised. Let me see the sick is healed. The world is open. Every ministry is going to have three things. The word, the fruit, and the signs and wonders. We are in a church, but not a real thing. Like Paul, everybody going to be like Paul. But God will, every church is supposed to be like the Ephesian church. He said every minister is supposed to be like Paul. He said Paul had them three things that identify him as God called and God sent. Amen. But manifestations are evidence. Manifestations only show God is present. Yes. Now let me show something in the Bible. Let's think about the season coming in the car. Many people today, they go back in the Bible to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they get confused. Because they go back in the book of Acts and they take away the Holy Spirit for their Pentecost and they try to preach and they get the Holy Ghost. They go back to Acts 10 like in Cornelius and preach and get the Holy Ghost. They go back in Acts 19 with Paul and get the Holy Ghost and they say they get the Holy Ghost. Don't you realize that not one of them, Acts 2, was a record of an event? Amen. Acts 2 don't show where they have evidence that they received the Holy Ghost? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We could sit down here tonight. I might do a show you come in here. Holy Ghost can fall. Tongue of the Father, people that nobody could be born again. Yeah. That is correct. Yeah. They're going to watch this. They're going to line up with the word afterwards. Yeah. And that can happen. They're going to line up with the word. Yeah. That was a manifestation. Acts 10 will be the spot where the Holy Ghost fall. It can happen here tonight. Amen. And nobody can be born again, but everybody can be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, that means you're saved by a long ways. That's only a temporal gift. Because you have to be elected to be born again when you get your baptism. Because if they have no seed in the ground, when rain falls, nothing will come up. How to have seed to produce your life. And that seed is your representation, is your work for the age. Amen. Acts 19, you can lay hands on me. As I speak in tongues right there. Is it a gallet that Paul is about me? Tomorrow, the resistance of Bansit falls. We have to find the evidence of the Holy Ghost. So then people say, all I hear the Russian word here, sir. You see, that was written as a record. No, because God is going to send the prophet message at the end of the age. When the rain is falling on the just and the unjust, and tongues of fire is appearing, lights all over the place, where gifts are being made manifest, all isn't going to happen, and yet you'll have to look beyond that to know somebody of the Holy Ghost. You'll not be able to stop there, because you'll see Trinitarians testifying of the same things. Amen. You see what he's saying? So it remained there so to the day when people come forward and say, well, Bible say, Jesus, when you have to get the Holy Ghost, you'll be a witness of me in Judea and Samaria, and you'll go and give great witness of the gospel and bring many souls. Some say, well, no, when you get the Holy Ghost, you produce the fruits. In Galatians, you have meekness and temperance and love and faith and all these things. Some say, no, you'll have power to perform miracles. Amen. And all those things will not be no evidence anybody baptized with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, I should say born again. Because if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're born again. Don't be baptized with the Holy Ghost, you'll be born again. The same thing if the life that is produced reveals the word for the age and can receive it for the age. Amen. That is why Abraham the third pole found them. They had gifts. He said they could have all nine fruits and all nine gifts and be demon possessed forever. They can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost 24 hours a day and go straight to hell. Why? Because there is no gene inside of there. There was no attribute in the mind of God. Amen. And God just make records of manifestations of the Holy Ghost. People genuinely receive it in the book of Acts. But though they genuinely receive it, it was not evidence. Notice how accurate the scripture is? Yes. God didn't use that to teach evidence. Because a prophet come and said, Judas cast out devils and Satan cast out Satan came and divided. Only the Holy Ghost will cast out devils. So you have to be under the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you say you're going to come back to the word for the age. The allotted word that is being revealed and manifested, and the proof it has really been revealed, the supernatural element remained despite the revelation when the angel revealed all mysteries. He revealed the mystery. But even though he revealed the mystery, a supernatural element will still remain despite the revealing of the mystery. Because the angel didn't make it history. He only revealed the mystery. Yeah. Amen. See? But Abraham revealed many mysteries in the Bible, but he never lived it out. He never lived out the bride part. He'll be here and here before the resurrection, but he revealed all those things that will happen. Amen. You see, but so when the history has been made, God interprets his word up in the past. The interpretation is the revelation. When it's been interpreted, then be revealed how it really is. So he gave a revelation. See, not fully revealed. He speak it. The voice of the archangel is the voice of the resurrection. Place it in its right place in the scriptures. Seven trumpets preach supernaturally, place in the Bible right there. Don't explain this place in the Bible right there. Amen. In the message. But then the Holy Spirit have to come to guide, to lead you and guide you into all truth. The food is stored up. But then I get spiritual food in due season. Where I find it already laying inside of here. The material to create the schools is laying here. Just like the material to make the rocket is laying in the earth when they make the motor car. But they only had revelation to make a motor car. So Henry Ford couldn't get the thought the Wright brothers was getting when they make the airplane. But the material is right there in the earth. All the material is there. And Luther, when he read the same Bible, the part of great scriptures in the Bible, Luther couldn't get it. Yes. But it's right there. Take a spiritual astronaut, an eagle, a spiritual scientist to come and pick it up and tie the scriptures together and then manifest it. Yes. You see what's happening? Yes. Okay, that is it for the night. I'll stop here because we're running too late with this. So I was trying to speak that tonight to let you know that when Balaam came to the seven seals, something happened and a corner was turned. A new age started and we had to relate differently. And where people don't understand the message, you have to follow the message coming through. Before the seals, he's prophesying many things after the seals, but would not come into effect until the seals is revealed. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He called the people, come out of all my people, come out of Babylon. Why am I against organized religion? Why are we under the denomination? Oh, where are you going to point them? I have no bride you should put them into. Come out of Laodicea. Amen. He revealed the only provided place of worship yet. Yeah. He revealed the place where God placed his name yet. See? Then the Holy Spirit comes and says, that's blasphemous name. That's a substitute covenant. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost is a substitute covenant. But the real covenant is going to come back. Because Paul, Uranus, Man, and Columba is grain. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost is stalk, tassel, and shock. Malachi 4 is grain again. So we're not in stalk, tassel, and shock. We're in grain now. And in the grain, all the life gets in the grain in the harvest time. And the harvest time, there's no life in the carriers. So when we find the grain, we'll see what the word that all the life have to abide in. What word? And that word is the voice of the archangel. And the bride have to abide in that word. If she don't abide in that word, she's back in 1965. Because 1965 is a one-man scripture. It finished right there when the prophet died. So when we move straight there, we step in 1965 and we're back in history. Jesus Christ yesterday. Amen. Looking backwards, 17 years have passed in 1982. The last trumpet is giving the song. Amen. Call to the marriage supper. Amen. Amen. You see what's happening? So there couldn't be no bride age until the seven seals open. And when the seven seals open, Balaam had a revelation. Revelation 3, 4, and 22 was what? That's the age, Laodicea. The seventh angel messenger in Revelation 3, 4, and 22 is the same person in Revelation 10, 7. We all believe that, amen? Yeah. And Revelation 10 and 7 was fulfilled when? In Revelation 3, 4, and 22. Because that is the seventh age. Is that correct? Yeah. But Revelation 3, 4, and 22 is two groups, both true and false. But he's speaking. He didn't have an ear to hear. Let him hear. Yeah. Come on, bow with me. I serve gold trying the fire and white raiment. What was that? What the angel brought down. Is that correct? Yeah. Isaac gave it to Eliezer to go and clothe the bride. White raiment, I serve gold trying the fire. You don't know to read the Bible. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And then those seven thunders called the bride. Oh, come out of my clothes, the lady. Come out of here. See? Now, Revelation 3, 14 to 22 is before the seven seals open. Because Revelation 10 on the 7 is the opening of the seven seals. Amen. But Revelation 10, 8, 11 is the bride, the elected seed, who was over on this side before the seals open, Amen. Coming over here after the prophet. Yes. With a ministry, they almost prophesy again. Yes. Revelation 10, 8, 11, the bride after the seven seals. Yes. Seven seals open, 93, here's a bride here today. Knows that the Lord has descended from heaven. And there's people who believe 60 and believe 70 didn't open. That's right. Believe something doesn't reveal. That's right, why? Because you can know all those things before the 70 is open. Yeah. And right there, get your foolish virgins. Because there's not Laodiceans. At midnight, a loud cry, the Holy Spirit came and 10 virgins went out. Out of where? Out of Laodicea. Go ye out to meet him. The Lord is in a bridegroom. Five is wise and five is foolish. A mixed group. Some with oil and some without oil. Amen? And then what happened afterwards? See? One come up to the prophet and receive the prophet and then they stay right there and they garnish the tomb of the prophet. Preach a mighty prophet of word and indeed. They had a new hero. And they lift the hero up. Great mighty man in this age. Had his picture all over the place. And this mighty man has seen a super church and said, oh God, let me live to see this day. Amen. Lord, look at that. I want to see that. Amen. In the last day, the true bride will be a super church as she nears the headstone. Preach invisible union like aliens introduce the bright eyes like all these things. And they're still looking back at the messenger. You see what's happening? So here it is. Right inside the message here. The bride age was shout, voice, and trump. The seventh seal, under the seventh seal, for the space of half an hour. Only those under that seventh seal is in that age. There's no way to get in there. Because once you're in that age, the first one that is the prophet, Revelation 10 of the 7. One man script here. Before that, you could be in Laodicea and believe around the prophet. And baptize over. And accept Brother Abraham. And believe serpent seed and all these things. But what about your promise? The part you have to manifest. The part where your name is written in the Bible. Where you see that the thing that is prophesied of you, which is the prophecy Brother Abraham is teaching about the church in the last days. The part that you have to anoint. You can't anoint that part. That's history already. That can't be fulfilled again. It's done, fulfilled. It's gone. That is history as Moses came. That is history like Joshua lived. That is history like Samson destroyed the Philistines. That is history just like that. Bible history today. But a part becoming history right now in the lives of a few people around the face of the earth. The quickening power is coming across the earth, quickening the seed that had life. The third pull was getting those souls that could have believed the message. Amen. And when that is coming forth, demonology in the framework of the church would be revealed. And we'll find out that there are men with religious demons in the soul, in the religious realm, disbelieving the part of the word that the bride is today. Because this is your word for today. Amen. Amen. It didn't just read the scripture and read half and leave half. Amen. So why is it wrong if we read the prophetic part and leave the historical part? Why is it wrong? You see what I mean? We believe the prophet. We believe he came up with seven seals. We believe he used to back at all things. We believe that he was the messenger of Malachi 4:5, original 7. But we all believe he had a prophecy. We all believe he spoke of a bride age. Not the church age, the bride age. He said there have been churches, brides. But there's come a real bride. Who will not have mechanics, but have mechanics and dynamics. She will be the bride in the bride age. The ones who is taken up in the mystery of the seventh seal, and the rapture is a revelation only for the bride. He's whispering secrets in the airs, not these floaters, he said. She has the wedding banner grace, the marriage certificate, and the name revealing the seven thunders. To show that she's Lady Jesus Christ. So, I say that these things tonight are background for you to bring back fresh and many of you all. You understand it's being the voice of the archangel, the second floor, the seventh seal. And this part that sounds as though, I never hear that. I never see that so. It is God tying the scattered word that spoke of the bride together in this season and making it plain to identify your move into the second fold. So we can realize the last trumpet is getting ready to sound. Amen. And many people stay back playing church because they don't know what is going on. Because the foolish virgins, when they came out to Laodicea and they saw the prophet and they believed that and they stopped there, but they never went beyond that. They believe the part about them. So they're looking for no promise. They have no expectation. They have no anticipation. They're not anointing nothing. They feel one day the sky might fall on them and they get powerful. That is not the word. No, sir. Quickening power and transforming power. In the seed is transforming power to transform the seed into the species that God spoke it to be. And quickening power, come and quicken the seed. And transforming power, transform the seed into the voice of the archangel. God was a seed. And that seed, Revelation 8:11, God sowed it in your dirt. And then quickening power, quickening that's in your dirt. And that is added word upon word, revealing that mystery, how that word becoming flesh in you. And you become the literal voice of the resurrection on the earth. Amen. And when it begins to happen, what the Holy Ghost come down, what signs, wonders, and miracles begin to flow. Because God is with you and you shall see the miracles. I'll tell you, but I was saying that a few seasons back. I was preaching and saying, I said, God is with you, you shall see the miracles. And watch. You watch and see. Amen. If God be with us, where's the miracle? That even Gideon was wondering. But after he had a visitation, and God spoke to him, and God identified some of him. He said, no, if God be with us, more. God is with you, Gideon. Hallelujah. Then he saw miracles. And thank God, because you're not ashamed to act upon the word. You're not ashamed to exercise. You broke the song barriers. You don't care what the voices say. You don't care what the critics say. You know that he's unveiled. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because why? His word of promise is a reality unto you. Because you are looking for the promise, not among the Jews, not among the Pentecostals. And the Pentecostals is finished, the Jews get ready to come. But between the Jews and the Pentecostals, there's to be a bride. So it's right among your own self you have to look for it to be made manifest. You have to have faith anointed on right inside your midst here. Hallelujah. And thank God for people who could see that in the scripture, who could see that in their message, and get in the atmosphere of it, knowing now is the time, and watch God bring it to pass. Could we all stand to our feet? Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to your precious name. We thank him for his quickening spirit here tonight. Quickening many minds. Putting in understanding. Illuminating the minds of his people. Enlightening them. Lifting them up on higher ground. Anointing their eyes to make them see more plainly. Giving them an inspired faith. A charge of faith to be bold and step forward. And look for God to manifest his word in their life. Unto this end, were you born for this cause you came into the world. Amen. Those who made it for you, them made it predestined, he did predestine, them made it call. And you are the call according to God's purpose. And God's purpose is that by and through the members of his bride will fulfill all he has spoken for this time. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, the little exhortation. Trying to speak to the people, Lord, it might have been mumbled up and jumbled up in some places. But Lord, we trust that the Holy Spirit would make it plain some way, Lord, and let it become real in their hearts. For it was not said to confuse them, but to enlighten them, Father. For Lord God, is the only way we could correctly relate to what is happening at this present time. If we see how you work and it unfolded right down into what is going on at this present time, right now, midst, Father. Lord God, if we would just speak things going on midst, many would not be able to relate to it correctly. They would think maybe just another service, maybe just some thought being expressed. But Father, when you could see, when you came and you took the prophet and began to work, how you work right down through this time, the work you had to do in the bride, how you brought the bride through, how it unfolded down through this time, how the revelation was made plain in the midst of the people. Lord God, how the Holy Spirit have come down now and vindicated that revelation, Father. And Lord, moving us on step by step is always in your word. Lord, let it be that way tonight, Father. Maybe it was not said plain enough to produce that, but Father, you know to take your word and fit it together. Lord, the dark spaces in their minds of the people, Lord, might be made clear. And all those little dark places where they can't understand too clearly, maybe the word drop right inside of you tonight, Father, to crystallize that part. And Lord God, the entrance of your word bring light. Lord, that the word be a lamp unto the feet and a light unto the pathway. So may it be unto them tonight, Father. And Lord, we come at this time now, we might stand before you, Lord, and before your table that is spread here before us. Lord is preaching recently about the communion after the battle. Lord, what a battle have been for us, Father. Lord, coming through these past years and demon powers in every hand. But Lord God, sovereign grace dropped down amongst us. And you brought us through, Lord, possessing every gate of the enemy along the way. And here we stand tonight and we see you unveil. And we stand here, Lord, in the divine presence, worshiping the living God, the mighty conqueror himself. Father, it brings joy in our heart, Lord. Amen. To know, Lord, is a guide. The same one that led a prophet. Lord God, remain back on the earth. Down to 1965. Down to 1982. Here you are tonight, Father, in this service, still leading us. Oh, God, we bless your holy name tonight. Worthy at all. And Father, we pray as we come to your table tonight. Consecrated hearts. Rededicating our lives, Lord. And Lord, lift our hands unto you, the possessor of heaven and earth. God, even Melchizedek make Abraham and give him wine and bread after the battle, after the captive was delivered, Lord, after the slaughter of the kings, when he came marching the victor's march. Oh, God, let it be like a little preview for us tonight, Father, knowing that very soon there'll be a call to the wedding supper. And Lord, that prophecy that you said you will not drink the fruit of the vine no more with us until that day in the Father's kingdom. And Lord God, the prophet told us that was the wedding supper, Lord. And when the last trumpet song will be a call to the wedding supper, the feast in the sky. And Lord, if we are hearing the voice of the archangel, and we see identifying your word so plainly tonight, Father, from the scripture that there was to be a promise after the prophet, there is a portion of word. And there was to be a people come over, Father, on the other side of the seals. Lord, who's identifying the redemption, Father, receive every redemptive blessing. Identify the true atonement restored back by the seventh angel. Hallelujah, under the blood of the promised word, in the only provided place, Father, where death cannot strike tonight. For Lord, you're the only one where man can get in there by the call of God, by the word of God, by the foreknowledge of God tonight. And Father, we see, Lord God, as we stand here tonight, oh God, may you meet with each and every one. Hallelujah. And Lord God, may it be a reality in our hearts. As we take it, we think of that day when we'll be taken with you again in the Father's kingdom. Bless each and every pilgrim tonight. Lord God, who is on a pilgrimage in this world, seeking a city whose maker and builder is God tonight. Father, living for this word, this prophesied promise, that might be completely made manifest in the lives, Father. Surrendering the life completely because it's vindicated on them. Lord, this is the hour. There's a time for its manifestation. They recognize your presence, Father. As they have come down in our midst, oh God, identify itself now by speaking the supernatural part of the word that could be preached back there in the revealing time. Lord, let it be tonight that they would break that veil and catch that revelation, Father. And Lord, it would give them full assurance of faith. It would anchor the soul that they will know that they are part of your bride. I'm part of your bride. I'm part of your bride. Oh God, we lead them through stormy waters. Oh God, sail them through troubled sea, Lord. Lord, we're coming back someday, Father. On the cloud you shall ride. Lord, we are looking forward, faith, Lord. Lord, as we gather here tonight, Lord, confess our sins. Lord, before you we pray the Holy Spirit. Lord, would search into our hearts now this time. And Lord God, even as we tarry one for the other, as you would, even speak of us too, Lord. Lord, even these things, Lord, make our hearts right now before thee. And we stand in thy presence knowing you are here. And the word you have spoken unto us, prepare in our hearts. Lord, you see the lateness of the hour, knowing that soon we shall meet with thee. So Lord God, may you just give each and every one a personal touch tonight. Lord, a fresh experience. Oh God, may it be closer drawn to thee, Father. Be a prisoner of your word. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in thy precious name tonight. Amen. Turn to the Bible, 1 Corinthians. My, sorry to keep you so late, but should already get through this part, but may you forgive me tonight for really holding back here. But I trust that I just felt led, you know, to speak that today, and I thought that I'd just come and speak that with the church. Many times I don't get a chance to speak some of these things to some of the other believers to help, you know, crystallize the understanding, to have a plainer view of what is really taking place right in the midst. Like you can see, it's not church, they're coming to a gathering here, but it's God's word be made manifest in our midst. When we see that way, it could really have great effect in our lives. Verse 23, for I received the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you will show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. Amen. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes? Let us sing softly, search me, O God, into my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin, and set me free. Softly, reverently, I think tonight, every heart bowed, every eye closed, every heart centered. And that great one is amongst us, in the presence we feel at this time, as we come before his table.
we stand before that table tonight, knowing, dear God, when you died on the cross and you said it's finished, Lord, truly it was finished, Father. For Lord, it was a complete work. Lord, that included the very last that would come in, even down to this very age and time. Lord, as we come in at the end of the age, Lord, we can look back at Calvary, and it's still real in our hearts today, Father. The Holy Spirit is here to make it have effect in our lives. The Lord, we can look and see if you laid on your life. Lord, you gave yourself a ransom that we might be redeemed. And this hour of redemption, when it's been revealed and made manifest, Lord, we think of the great price that was paid, Father. Lord, we think of how we didn't think of your own self, but you thought of us. The great love that you had, is a greater love that no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And Lord, as I stand here tonight, before the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, hold in my hand this unleavened bread, Father. Lord, may thy sanctified hands, may that power of the redeemed, we stand here to commemorate, Lord God, your death tonight. Your body was broken, your blood that was shed, Father. And enter back, Lord, into that great achievement. Lord, the great love of God was made manifest unto us. May his heart be anointed as the love of God we shed abroad and we have by the Holy Spirit tonight. And Father, as we come to that table, Lord, partake of this bread. God, knowing that what it represents, Father. Oh God, we come walking softly. Walking humbly, Lord. Lord, knowing that it is what is required. We might be redeemed tonight. Lord, don't we be heirs of the promises of God. Father, I pray this time, Lord, you would sanctify this bread for the purpose of which it is intended tonight.